We hope your day has been one that's been encouraging. And I know our thinking of Lisa with all the practice with the kids. I said she's going to get a reward. It's just not yet, you know. And all the hard work. So thank you, Lisa, ahead of time and those who are helping you put our program together for Christmas. It did come to my mind as we were doing announcements and thinking, I think it's a really valuable time of the season for us to share with people, talk to people about the Lord. Christmas just opens a unique opportunity in our culture to share Christ and just start praying for people. Maybe you bring to the program, maybe you bring to a service, maybe it would be the New Year's Eve service, Christmas Eve service. But just pray for them. And you might pray for us. We're not exactly sure where this is at, but I mentioned to some of you, but our neighbor on one side of us told me last week that she's been diagnosed. She's had cancer in the past, but she's been re-diagnosed with brain cancer. So you might pray that the Lord will really help us be wise and sensitive and just to know how to talk with them and minister to them. So we just appreciate your wisdom. And for this lady, her name is Cindy, and just pray for her needs. Let's pray for ourselves right now. Father, we do thank you. We thank you for all your goodness to us. We thank you that we do have so much to sing about. We really have reason to sing. We know the world loves music, and I'm sure we do love music, but we know that as a believer, we really have something to sing about. And we praise you that you're the one that makes life worth living and singing. And so we thank you. And Father, we pray tonight that you will bless our time. May our thoughts be really in line with your word and your will. May we just be in tune with you, walk in the power of your spirit. And we just ask that you will accomplish what you desire to do tonight. So we just humble ourselves before you. We realize only anything of value has to be accomplished ultimately by you and your spirit. So we pray for that in Christ's name. Amen. I want to grab something here that I had out of reach. Now, if I was going to ask this question, I'm sure there's more than one answer. What is a major distinction between Christianity and all the other religions of the world? Now, of course, if we were looking at a lot of different religions, there's lots of different thoughts and emphasis and all kinds of things that we might mention. And, of course, there's tons of different kinds of religions. I remember seeing a book. I think it was Martin's book on cults, and an older version and then a newer version, and how it had expanded so much. You know, it's quite amazing. And that's to be expected in our time. That's to be expected, because it says the Antichrist, and there are many Antichrists, it says in 1 John. So there are many religions. But if you're going to pinpoint one, and like I said, I'm sure there's more than one, but one thing that really stands out that makes it different, does it, you know, the world says, well, it doesn't matter what's different. Don?
I would say Christianity began with God. All the other religions began with man.
And that's absolutely true. Absolutely true. Janice? That's absolutely correct. And this comes very close to what I want to say in just a moment. But that's absolutely... Ernie?
I'm not familiar with all of it. John 14, I am the way that Jesus spoke exclusively about we have to be in agreement with Christ and proclaim him.
Yeah. Absolutely. I am the way. And it makes all the difference. I am the way, the truth, the life. And so no man comes to the Father but by me. Absolutely right. Those things are all true. And sometimes like at an auctioneer, if somebody wiggles, you bought the product, right? But anyway, I don't think they bought. Okay, let me just say one thing. And all these are true. It's like I started off with, there's more than one answer to this. But one thing that makes a huge distinction between Christianity and all the Christians of the and all the religions of the world is could be wrapped up in the word grace. I want to read what Charles Ryrie wrote in his book, The Grace of God. He makes this statement: Christianity is distinct from all other religions because it is the message of grace. Jesus Christ is the supreme revelation of God's grace. Salvation is by grace, and grace governs and empowers Christian living. Without grace, Christianity is nothing. Now, that goes very close to all the things that have already been said, but grace makes all the difference. And I wanted to highlight that. We're going to be in Romans 5, and we're going to look at one verse tonight, really our wrap-up verse of this chapter. And in doing that, I thought it was important to highlight the concept of grace. Now, I'm going to read the verse, and then I want to go to comments that are made in a larger span of insight in other related to other portions of Scripture. Romans 5:21. So that, now of course we're breaking into a sentence, maybe I should read verse 20 as we read this morning. The law came in so that the transgression might increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through the righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace is truly amazing. And one of the outstanding hymns that we have. A number of volumes in it's titled Systematic Theology by Lewis Berry Schaeffer, who you may know was the founder of Dallas Theological Seminary. Mr. Schaeffer did a lot to highlight grace in his study, his theology, and he wrote a book on grace. But this is in his Systematic Theology, I think has 7 or 8 volumes. So this one, in just this section, it's titled The Riches of Divine Grace. And he lists 33 riches. So I don't know if I'll touch on every one, but I wanted to just highlight this. And what I would like us to do, obviously we're probably not going to remember every one that I mentioned, but there's going to be some that are referred to that it should just thrill our souls. It should encourage our hearts. We are the richest people on the planet because of God's grace. And this just reminds us of some of these truths, and some of these things we should be so thankful for. Now, the first one he mentions is we're part of God's eternal plan. I mean, God is omniscient, and he knew everything before it was created, and he's overwhelming. Isn't it amazing? We're a part of that plan. We're a part of that plan, God's plan. He has a plan, and you're a part of that. You're important. You're so important to God. And that's because, in measure, because of grace. Now, also, and one that we're probably a little more specific, is we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, as we sing. Redemption is to be bought out of the slave market of sin. And we were slaves to sin. So we've been bought out, and you've been set free. because of God's grace. I quote, he purchased out of the bond slave market, set free with the liberty with which is the rightful portion of the sons of God. It's an amazing thing. We'll highlight a facet a little bit later. He reconciled us. This is the third one he mentions. To be perfectly reconciled to God on the ground of the merit of Christ, as is true of every child of God, is a position of blessedness indeed, and is one of the riches of divine grace. When you think that God is sovereign, and we're so minute. I mean, sometimes let's say you're in a parking lot and you're driving, you're walking, you know, to your car, and you go past one of these big, big trucks, right? Maybe it's a big Jeep or a Land Rover or something. It's just big, right? It's big. And you're impressed, you know, and you feel really little because you're going to your little car, right? Anyway, but you're walking by there. Now, if we saw that same vehicle, let's say it wasn't one of those. Let's say it was a huge, big semi. It looks so big when you walk by it. I mean, to get up in it, you have to step way up and hold onto the rail and get in. But if we see that from an airplane, that is such a dinky toy, right? It's so small. And you take that big truck and take us as little dinky people. We're so small. But the sovereign God, in his love and grace, has reconciled us to himself. Isn't that amazing? Why would God even pay attention? But his love and grace, he's reconciled us. We're brought into relationship with him. We were enemies. We've been brought back into relationship. Another word is propitiation. Now, we don't use that word often very much, but it's a very important word because it means that God's wrath toward us was satisfied in the death of Christ. It was satisfied. God's wrath. God had to deal with his righteous anger toward our sin. It's just because he's holy. That's another facet of God's grace. Forgiven of all our trespasses. Oh, man. We have bags full of trespasses, don't we? All our sins. Think you didn't have to even be able to talk before your first sin. It goes a long ways back. All of those are forgiven for the child of God. We're joined to Christ. Now, this we'll highlight this a little bit more. But we're joined to Christ, and that gives us, in that union, one writes, Christ appears as the basis of many of the riches of divine grace, because we're in Christ. We're in Christ. And we're going to highlight that when we study Romans 6, which we're right on the doorstep of that. Freed from the law. Now, this is one of the wonderful things. This is one of the wonderful, we're in the dispensation of grace, sometimes referred to. It's amazing. I mean, we are not under the Old Testament Mosaic law. One writes, or Dr. Schaefer writes, to be free from the law is to be dead, and to be dead to the law, and to be delivered from the law, describe a position in grace before God which is rich and full unto everlasting blessing. Now, we'll deal with that when we'll deal more thoroughly with what that means when we move into Romans 7. But there's a lot of Christians that don't understand this, and they put people under the law, and it brings bondage. Now, the law was good. It still can be used for good purposes. It brings conviction of sin, but we're under a new administration because we're under grace. It's a wonderful thing, a wonderful reality. And if we understand it, it makes a Christian life a lot more joyful. It does. We're not talking about license to sin. That's not what it's about. But it's liberated to live. And it's wonderful. We're adopted. Mike mentioned this morning about they have a little one, just a baby, and they brought this little adopted one. Not that they've adopted it, but it needs a home right away, right? What, 3 days old? But you know what? We were without family, spiritually. And God just brought, he just said, hey, you're mine. You're in my family. You're adopted. You're part of the family. Accepted. I think this is a wonderful truth. We're accepted in Christ. Accepted in the Beloved, as it says in Ephesians 1:6. You just think what that means. My heart does break for a lot of young people in school. And I said that, you know, a lot of times that's the cruelest place on the planet, is being in school. Especially if you're not popular, you're not athletic, you can't sing, you know, you're not good at grades. And so what happens? Well, you get bullied. You get bullied. You're the outcast. You're the one they make fun of. Nobody will sit with you at lunch, right? You're the person that they're stiff-arming. You're the one they make fun of walking down the hall. It's a terrible thing. But if a person has come to faith in Christ, they are accepted by the sovereign of the universe. And I think that's a message we need to remind, you know, think of all these great kids on this front row on a Sunday morning, isn't it? God, if you've trusted Christ, you are accepted. You're in. You are loved. And no matter who says what about you, you're accepted. They need that. We need that too, don't we? I mean, if you're at work and people are down on you and, you know, whatever, we're accepted. We're in a great spot. So that's part of what grace does for us. It's amazing. And grace is truly amazing. We're accepted in the Beloved. And it's a wonderful thing. We're justified. We've talked a lot about that. We're declared righteous. And that's just so wonderful. He highlights we're made nigh. And this, it's a terminology from the King James, Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you were sometimes were far off or made nigh by the blood of Christ. Well, that doesn't seem to made nigh. What does that mean, right? But to be made nigh, I quote, is not only a work of God, but is to be brought into a relationship to God, which is of infinite perfection and completeness. Again, it fits close with acceptance, right? We're made nigh. We're close. We're close to the Father. We're accepted. We're loved. This is a huge one. Delivered from the power of darkness. The Christian's deliverance from the power of Satan and his evil spirits. it's just, you know, we've made light of Satan and his evil powers in our culture, right? In fact, a lot of people have joined Wicca. And I find it amazing how we sell, I mean, I don't want to go and take it, but how we've taken, Halloween is pushing, and of course it's a dollar and cents thing, but it's pushing even toward, the amount is spent toward Christmas. I mean, it's amazing how much money is spent on Halloween. Now, I'm not here to make a big thrust against Halloween, but we celebrate a lot of times evil. Anyway, I'm good. You can tell I'm a grandpa, right? Old and worn out. But anyway, no, that's not true for the believer. We've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and put in the kingdom of light. It's just amazing. And yes, we can be harassed, and yes, we can be foolish. We can be foolish and let Satan trip us up, and he wants to devour us. Yes, if we're not careful, he will. But we don't have to be, because we are in another realm, and we've been taken out of the realm of darkness, and it's a wonderful thing, and we live in the realm of light. I don't want to, obviously, spend a lot of time on all of these. We're partakers of the holy and royal priesthood. Again, Dr. Schaefer says, the Old Testament priest is a type of the New Testament priest. Israel had a priesthood. The church is a priesthood. To be a priest unto God with the certainty of a kingly reign in a position is a position to which the one who believes on Christ is brought through through the saving grace of God. We look forward to a reign in the future because we're in the royal priesthood even now. We're heavenly citizens, for our citizenship is in heaven. Now, that's a position you take by faith, isn't it? That's a position of faith. I don't see any angels floating around, right? We're not on a cloud somewhere. But we are citizens. We have our citizenships. We have our passports stamped. We're citizens of heaven. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, living down here, sometimes we look more like a stranger, right? First Peter talks about a stranger, yeah? It is. We are in a strange world because our citizenship is in another world, but because of God's grace. This is when I think we're in the family and household of God, which allows us to have fellowship with one another. This is an amazing thing. Church is not a club. There's some amazing reality that happens that is unseeable, but because we're in Christ, we're connected to one another. And so that should give us a lot of encouragement. We're a lot different from one another, right? We're all different. That's fine. God made us different. But we're in the same family. And so what that means is we should just enjoy the family. Is it, you know, like, you know, we're all unique, but we're in the same family. And that should help us remember. God put us together in unity. We're to preserve the unity. So we want to say, okay, God, by your grace, help us do the right thing that will promote unity. But we start unified because we're in this wonderful family. And that's because of grace. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of the church, of the Church of Christ. There's so many wonderful other things. Let me just, I'm jumping some of these just for your sake. We have the inheritance. We have an inheritance ahead of us. We're light in the Lord. This is another interesting thing. And again, I want to highlight this one. We've talked about being united to Christ, but also we're united to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we look at in John 14:20, and that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And then Schaeffer says, three great truths are declared as those which the believer is to know specifically in this age, namely Christ is in the Father, the believer is in Christ, and Christ is in the believer. Isn't that an amazing thought? Christ is in us. We're in him. It's, again, part of the riches of grace. We will be glorified. We are complete in him right now, as it says in Colossians. We're complete. We have everything. In other words, we have everything we need to live the Christian life. And the last one he mentions is we possess every spiritual blessing. And then it says, he writes, all positions and possessions which together measure the riches of the divine grace are traced to the believer's place in Christ. We're rich. We're rich. I was thinking of this verse, and I'm going to read it for just, and then we'll move on. This is in Ephesians, which I love this passage. Of course, Ephesians chapter 1 highlights, but in Ephesians 1:7, in him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. According to the riches of his grace. And then it says this in the next verse, which he lavished on us. Isn't that a beautiful thought? The riches of his grace, and he lavished upon us. Like we said this morning, his grace is overflowing. It's overflowing. It's overflowing. Now, let's just take a few moments and look at our verse. Verse 21 of Romans 5. So that as sin reigned in death. Now the word reign there is to reign as a cruel king. Think of some of the historic atrocities that have been done by people in power. Well, sin was the cruelest reigner and ruler. and reigned in death. In death. Death is the result and the accompaniment. We've talked about death. Death is a terrible thing. You lose a loved one, you're separated. But as we know, spiritually, it's a far worse. Physical death is terrible. Spiritual death is beyond awful. To be separated forever. And of course, if you don't resolve it, you don't come to Christ, before you pass on physically, you're forever separated. So this is a terrible thing. Sin reigned in death. Set enthroned in the kingdom of death. And I think of, not that I watch these zombie movies, but every once in a while I'll see one of these advertisements. And I think, that looks pretty gross, These people walking around, they got their arms out and they just look gross. But anyway, but my thought is, really, that's a physical picture of spiritual reality. People are walking around in our world, people that we love and know and care about, but they are zombies. They're walking dead. And sin reigns over the walking dead. And that's why we need to keep praying for our loved ones and sharing with our loved ones, people that are neighbors, and that they may no longer walk in death, but they might come into life through God's grace. So, this talks about the terrible contrast, as two contrasts have been going on throughout this section. Even so, grace, and this is wonderful. The next part of verse 21, even so, we have sin reigned in death, even so, grace, God's amazing grace, his favor toward us that we don't deserve and we could not earn. Even so, grace would reign as king in the place of sin. One writes, grace has superabounded to the end that it might reign through righteousness unto eternal life. So we're talking about the reign of grace versus the reign of death and reign of sin. Through righteousness. It's only through righteousness. Now, there's a lot said about righteousness in Romans. And I want to just go back to one passage that highlights, that opened the door to the whole book, really. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, we read, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel," and Romans really is a layout of the gospel, "for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes," again, the importance of faith, "to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it," verse 17, "in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." The righteous man lives by faith. The righteousness of God is revealed. And it goes through here and talks about the importance of God's righteousness. There's no way we can relate to God in our own righteousness. It's like filthy rags. We say that, right? Our righteousness is filthy rags. But we stand in the righteousness of Christ because of God's amazing grace. And through righteousness, through grace, the reign of grace through righteousness. And you've heard this said, but I do think this is a pretty good definition. Grace, and then acrostic. God's riches at Christ's expense. I think that's a pretty good. I'm sure you could add to that, but it's simple, short, and sweet. God's riches, and that's exactly, remember, they were lavished upon us. God's riches at Christ's expense. He paid the whole price. It's all because of him, what he did for us. Now, as we look at this, to eternal life. Now, this is where we're beginning to move. And I said this morning, Romans right now, Paul is, and God through Paul is writing, is set an arrow looking forward to what's going to come. Starting in Romans 6 and beyond. But to eternal life, the end toward, grace reigns toward and in the context of everlasting life. If you notice Romans 6:22, which is part of where we're going, obviously. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. Grace reigns through and to eternal life. And it's through Jesus Christ our Lord, through Jesus. It's only through him this is possible. It's a wonderful thing to know God's grace in Christ. God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, I just want to highlight kind of a little wrap-up of this, and we'll be done in just a moment. In this passage, Romans 12 and down to where we're at, there's basically four sections. In 5, Romans 5:12, we had the need of grace. And I'll just read a short portion of that. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, death through sin. So we know the problem, right? I mean, it's written all over the papers, all over the news. Death through sin. And so the need for grace. And then the abundance of grace. If you jump to verse 15, it says, but the free gift is not like the transgression, Adam's transgression. For it is by the transgression of the one, many died. Much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. Isn't that just a beautiful concept? It's wonderful. The abundance of grace, the grace of God, the gift of grace abounded to the many. And we're involved in those many. We're among those many. When you receive Christ, you're in. The abundance of grace has touched our life. And then the effect of grace in 18. So then through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men. Even so, through one act of righteousness, Christ's death on the cross, there resulted justification of life to all men. Isn't that awesome? Justification of life. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, the effect of grace. And then the reign of grace, where we've been a few moments tonight. How wonderful it is to be in this reign. Where, think, death reigned as a cruel king. In grace, when we come to Christ and what Christ has accomplished, we change masters. Now we have the King of grace. And it reigns. Christ reigns through grace. We go from death to life through grace. It's amazing what God has done for us. The reign of grace through Christ is the realm of life for the Christian. I just want to read these words. This is a little book, and it's been around a long time. Alva McLean, Law and Grace. He wrote this long time ago, but it's short and it's sweet. But I just want to read this, almost his last comment. This context of grace is the only environment in which the will of God can be most fully realized in the Christian life. In this context of grace, we grow, 2 Peter 3:18, we stand, we are built up, we are made strong, we are made perfect, we find freedom from sin's dominion, Romans 6, we will find complete liberty from legal bondage, Galatians 5, we find a sufficient motive for doing the will of God, we find an enabling power for Christian living. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in 2 Corinthians 12. We find recovery when we fail. We find assurance as to the final outcome of the Christian life. And it's all because of grace. It's all because of God's amazing grace. You know, we said this morning, but I think if we get a grasp of grace, it doesn't make us licentious, but it should make us thankful. We should be the most thankful people. God, your grace, it abounded toward me. God's amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And grace is not only sufficient for my past, and as we will see in Romans 6 and going, it's sufficient for my present. And it's sufficient for my future. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Lord, We thank you. We thank you that in the midst of our mess, Christ came in grace and truth. We thank you. We thank you that he came and paid the price for our sin. Father, may those around us who don't know the Lord Jesus come to put their faith in Christ. You are saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Father, we don't boast in ourselves. We boast in our Savior. We trust in our Savior. We rejoice in our Savior and his grace. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for him and what he has provided in God's riches at Christ's expense. In his name, amen.